Hey, welcome to episode one of Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. My name is Rhyme Time, or Scott from Rhyme Time Television, and I've got Brian with me.
Hi, I'm Brian. Hi, Scott.
And the premise to this show pretty much is that Brian doesn't know anything about pro wrestling.
I don't know a damn thing about it, but I think it's crazy, and it's awesome, and I want to know more.
Yeah, and I grew up watching pro wrestling. It's one of my life's biggest obsessions. I went to pro wrestling school. I wrestled on the indies when I was younger, and briefly, and... if you've seen the Rhyme Time Television channel, you might have seen the Punchlines and Clotheslines music video. Brian was the director for that video.
Yeah, I directed that thing, but I didn't know a damn thing about what I was directing.
Yeah, pretty much he was like, well, I'll point the cameras where you want to go. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Tell me what the spots are, or what, I didn't even know they were called spots. I guess you said spots. I just got to know that terminology.
Yeah, he's sort of picking up the lingo now.
Yeah, I'm figuring it out.
And WWE came to town a couple weeks ago, and I thought, oh, Brian doesn't know anything about wrestling, but we had a good time on the video shoot. I'll bring him. So we went to a WWE house show, and he saw guys like Brock Lesnar and Big Show. And who was your favorite from that?
From that whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. They brought out Neville, too, didn't they?
Yeah, Neville had a match. Good match.
Yeah, so here's the thing is, like, although no... Okay, so from what I know, Neville, from what I'm getting, it's like a new thing that Neville is real mad all the time.
Yeah, they capitalized the evil in his name and made him a bad guy.
Yeah, so like he is, and he's real mad, and he almost goes a little bit too far on the mad side, but... Holy shit, can that guy like jump around and move around ring? So like,
yeah, Neville's great.
Right now I'm liking him.
Cool.
In that match. It was cool to see, like, I mean, you don't really have to be a wrestling fan to know Brock Lesnar. You were telling me that he wasn't going to be there. And
I didn't think he would be.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just curb my expectations. That's cool.
Yeah, Lesnar's got a he's got a contract for limited dates.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way he's showing up to a Salt Lake City house show.
Yeah.
And then he did. And he put on a pretty good match with Big Show. It was, you know, short, but fine.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks later, another wrestling show came to town. It was Utah Championship Wrestling.
Yep.
And then they brought Rey Mysterio Jr., one of the most famous lightweights of all time. Mm-hmm. And
he wears one of those scary masks.
Yeah. And I said, hey, Brian, you had a good time at WWE. Why don't you come to UCW?
And I feel like I've been invited to an abnormal amount of wrestling shows, you know, compared to most people's lives.
I get a kick out of it. Yeah. I like, because me and, my friend Adam and from House of Lewis and, a bunch of my friends, we grew up watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. We're obsessed with it. We talk about it all the time. I really like getting your take on things because it's just like a fresh mind.
It's so fresh and it's like... Like I'm an
but you're
adult
into
now.
It.
Oh, it's like I'm accessing my inner child again. You know,
yeah, it's like watching it for the first time.
Yeah,
it's
because
cool.
My parents, they never let me watch professional wrestling. It was taboo in my house. Don't want to be offensive to any Jehovah's Witnesses, but it was like them with Harry Potter and
just
birthdays
out of the question.
Yeah. It was like, you can't do it. Don't.
And my
do
parents
it.
Fought me on it. Mm-hmm. My parents were not wrestling fans either, but it was just became a thing where every week they were just like, it's too much of a fight.
Uh-huh.
Just let him have it. And so Monday
night.
So
how much of a fight did you?
Oh, I would throw tantrums. I would start
I'm
fights.
Dying like, on this
I
hill.
That was exactly it. Like wrestling was my obsession. And so, but it's cool now to talk with somebody who doesn't know all the history of everything, hasn't watched any wrestling growing up, and I get to show him new stuff. And I said, like, let's make a podcast out of this. And that's exactly what learning
the
ropes
is. Oh, and I was so on board, because the thing is, like, once I get into something, like, I must have been bitten by some bug or something like that at those shows, because I'm making fun saying that I haven't been invited to many wrestling shows. I don't think many people are, but like, you know, I think that's kind of an uncommon thing to go to, but like, I had the time of my life at those. I'm 26 years old and getting hit with reality every turn, right?
Yeah.
And I get just a second to like have this power fantasy or whatever, you know, and like really watch this amazing shit happen in the ring. And so
I think there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me what's like pro wrestling, I can't name any.
It's like a soap opera meets a carnival meets
a train wreck.
Meets UFC.
I don't know.
Yeah. Meets Jerry Springer.
Yeah. It's the best. There's nothing better than pro wrestling. So I asked Brian to pick a wrestler that he had heard of out of all time. Mm-hmm. And I've been sending him clips of different, you know, just little wrestling things here and there over the past couple months.
Well, because like, I had been sending you stuff. I was like, holy crap, have you seen this? And he's like, yes, I've seen this. And then I would send him another thing. Like, holy crap, have you seen this? And he's like, yes, I've seen this. And then he finally was just like, all right, have you seen this? And it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. Like, because, you know, like with professional wrestling, they're colorful characters. He sent me a Macho Man Randy Savage promo where he's the cream of the crop. And he just keeps on like pulling out these little coffee creamers out of nowhere and setting them everywhere. And like, and he's just, and Mr. Tunney, Macho Man doesn't like your decision. You know, and it's just,
yeah.
And it was just the most absurd thing. And I was like, I need to know more. Scott,
what the hell is this?
Tell me more about this guy.
So that's exactly what this podcast is going to be about. He's going to pick a wrestler. I'm going to send him six of his best matches, or hers, send six of the best matches they've done, some promos, some clips, some other stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to watch them. Brian's going to give his fresh take on it. I'm going to give a more historical perspective on it. Then we're going to have a little segment called Story Time, where I go an obscure story about that wrestler. So we're starting out with Macho Man Randy Savage. Before you get into your thoughts, I want to list the matches. These are matches that almost every hardcore wrestling
fan has
seen.
I've watched all of these, and I watched them actually multiple times.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we have the first match was Macho Man versus Ricky Steamboat, obviously, for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania 3. We had Macho Man versus Ted DiBiase at WrestleMania 4.
Yep.
Macho Man versus Ultimate Warrior, the retirement match at WrestleMania 7. Macho Man and Bret Hart versus Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels from 92, Macho Man versus Crush at WrestleMania 10, and then finally Macho Man versus DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and Halloween Havoc 97. So we span 10 years.
DDP, is that DDP Yoga?
Yeah, do you know DDP Yoga?
I watched an episode of Shark Tank where he went on there and pitched it.
Yes.
The thing is, he didn't get any offers either.
Oh, they turned him down? Oh, that DDP Yoga. Okay.
And he came in hard with that. We may have to talk about that a little bit later.
That is the same DDP Yoga. He is a wrestler, and he, that was him.
Oh, man.
So let's, we don't want to go through match by match.
No.
I just sort of want to get your overall take about, now that you've seen, like, the best matches, in my opinion, of Macho Man throughout, the biggest decade of his career.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on Macho.
Graduation music. What the hell?
It's been in my head all week. Whitney has just been like, why do you keep singing the graduation song? I was like, it's not the graduation song. It's Macho Man's theme song.
So, like, I was expecting something, like, more rock and roll or whatever. And, just based on his personality, right? But, like, all of a sudden, da, 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 da. And then he's just, like, sprinting out there with tassels and sunglasses and the headband and the long hair and the, oh, yeah, you know? And it's just, like, I was like, there's a very different tone happening with the music than what's going on with what I'm seeing. Anyway,
you see some of the theme musics from like his opponents. Ricky Steamboat fits Ricky Steamboat. You know, Ultimate Warrior fits Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's something about the pomp
but
and circumstance.
There's something about it that I love. You know, it's just like, this is ridiculous, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So I think that's just overall Macho Man, like my thoughts on him is, holy crap, I just love it. You know,
cool.
Absurd.
Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, he told me when he got here today as we were setting the mics up, he's like, I think Macho Man's my favorite.
I love him.
And I was like, well, good, because he's the first one you've watched.
I know, right?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think about, let's talk about his outfits.
Yeah, so he's like really, he has some amazing outfits.
Yeah.
I love his like, it's
always
just,
changing.
They're always changing. They're never the same. And I think, I mean, you also don't really have to be a wrestling fan to know about Roman Reigns and whatever. And like,
he's pretty mainstream pop culture these days.
Yeah, just and he's kind of boring to look at. You know, like his body armor or whatever.
Sure.
You know, and then the black, and then the black, and then the black.
Yeah, he looks like a tough guy.
Yeah, I'm a super tough guy. I'm gonna take you down, kick your damn door in, and I'm gonna I'm gonna super punch the shit out of you.
Yeah, that's pretty much the last year of my life watching wrestling. So that's
anyway,
that's dead on.
Did I? Okay, so I caught that. All right.
And then But you go back to the 80s and the 90s, and it's so flamboyant.
Oh, I love it. I love it, too. I want more flamboyance now. I want more Macho Man. Like, one of the matches you had me watch, he has a freaking ghillie suit. Yeah. Where he's like, he looks like a sniper at a rave.
That's accurate. That's accurate.
Yeah, but, like, there's those, and... I wish, and then I love that he was like not afraid to like wear pink or anything like that, pink or yellow.
Oh yeah,
it's like he just owned all of that. And
so I just listened to an interview with one of the guys, the main guy who made Macho Man's costumes.
Okay,
and he said that Macho Man came to him and said, "I'm small," meaning compared to guys like King Kong Bundy, yeah, and compared to guys like, you know, there were guys that were 7 feet tall and 400 pounds, and he's like, I'm small compared to the guys who I'm wrestling. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I need something in part of my costuming and gimmick to make me seem over the top. Yeah. His energy was over the top. His promos were over the top. His costumes were over the top. Everything about him just screamed big, even though he was smaller compared to a lot of his
opponents. And that was one thing that I was going to bring up is that, like, so he would take all that shit off, and then it was like he wasn't huge, you know. I mean,
compared to me, absolutely.
Well, sure, but like compared to any normal person, a professional wrestler has usually been scouted because they look, you know,
gigantic.
Yeah, and so anyway,
but he was in great shape, and I want to talk to you a little bit about, like, his action in the ring.
Yeah.
So you saw six of his matches, so you kind of have an idea of his moveset.
Yeah, he's really good at making me sympathize with him, too. Like, he's really good at getting me on his side
in
the
ring.
Like, even when he's the heel,
yeah,
I have a hard time rooting against him.
Good use of heel.
Oh, is that okay? That so I used great. It right?
Yeah, that was okay. No, that was perfect.
What I've been gathering is that's the bad guy.
I remember I said that to him during the video shoot, and he was just like, I don't know what that means.
Well, I guess we'll go into this with the discussion at the end, but, like, I kind of want to know, like, why is it heel? Is it, like, seems like a really random term?
It's carny slang. So wrestling.
Carny slang.
Yeah.
Wrestling. There's no better slang than carny slang.
Yeah. It just has a history. Wrestling has a whole list of slang and terminology that came from literal carnivals where they used to hold wrestling events. And so stuff like face comes from baby face, and that was the good guy. Heel's the bad guy. And I mean, just.
Why is it a baby face?
I think because they sort of looked like that. So you'd have the, like, young, clean shaven, good looking guy up against the, like, big, brutal, brutish bad guy.
I got a damn beard.
Yeah. And that makes me a bad guy.
Yeah.
So
a scowl.
Let's talk about the elbow drop.
Yeah, so that's scary. Like,
it's one of those moves that really seems like it would hurt.
Here's the thing is, like, while everybody else is really used to this shit, like, I'm just getting into it. And so I'm like, I'm basically a mom from the 50s, you know, like, watching this stuff. So it's just like, oh, dear.
Clutching your pearls going, no.
Yeah. That's exactly it. You know, and that's not to say that I don't love it. It's just, like, I'm like, oh, boy. Like, I'm acclimatizing right now. I'm sinking in. Like, I'm dipping my toe in the pool, and I'm gonna take the dive.
Brother. But,
I'm gonna take the dive, brother. But, like, yeah, some of those moves, I can't imagine sacrificing, like, just accepting, like, I'm going to jump off these ropes and I'm going to drop my elbow on you. And then also on the other side, I can't imagine saying, I'm going to lie here and let you drop your elbow on me.
Yeah. And, you know, and everybody will tell you wrestling's fake. Uh-huh. Talk to anybody, they'll say wrestling's fake. Wrestling's, you know, planned out. They don't actually hit each other. It's just, but you can see the contact. And guys, coming from somebody who's wrestled before, everybody says the ring is a trampoline. It's not. It's made out of steel and wood planks.
So when we were doing that music video,
yeah,
like, I got to hop in the ring with you guys,
yeah,
you know, like, while you guys were jumping around and beating the hell out of each other. And it's, I can attest, it is not a trampoline.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
a really loud set of bars that, like, it's actually pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's
pretty
difficult.
Doesn't feel great to land on.
Yeah.
And so you have this guy, Macho Man, like, he'll wrestle 200 nights a year. And he's jumping off the top rope, which is, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet tall,
it's just
landing on his hip and legs just landing on the ground or landing on his opponent. And it's just like that kind of 200 nights. So I could do it once in a while.
Yeah.
We shot the video. I was down to do anything because it was just once.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like the wear and tear. I know that Hulk Hogan, who wasn't actually on this list, there were no Hogan matches on here.
No, but he was in the DiBiase match at the very end.
Yeah,
he comes
definitely.
In.
He hits his signature move is a leg drop. He bounces off the rope and hits a leg. It looks less painful than the elbow drop, in my opinion. The Hogan's leg drop is definitely, I don't know, a less effective move than a top rope elbow drop.
Yeah.
But actually, Hogan has had like hip surgeries and problems
based
from
on that
landing.
Move?
Yeah, that crappy looking leg drop for
so that's
30
the thing
years.
Is like and so my dad. So I've been watching this on the WWE. Gosh, I can't stop coughing, but. But I've been watching this on the WWE Network on my Xbox, which is in a high volume area.
Uh-huh.
And the people who walk in and see me watching this stuff just like shaking their heads.
Yeah.
Just like, I can't believe that you're into this. I can't believe you're into this. But like what I've gained isn't this crazy appreciation for like the fact that they are sacrificing their bodies for the show, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, and because like no, like nobody's being taken by surprise by a move,
right?
You
right.
know, but like holy crap, that is a you got to commit to that move, and it's gonna like it doesn't. I'm sure it doesn't feel great.
Every time somebody says like wrestling's fake, why do you watch it? I always reply like, why would I watch it if it were real?
Right.
Like I don't like
I'm not
I don't
a savage.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
have
a damn
fun
barbarian.
Like watching people murder each other.
Yeah.
Like no, this is just like athletic entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway,
did you have a favorite match of the six?
I did. Well, okay. So I loved the Ricky Steamboat match.
So good.
It was really really good. I love Ricky Steamboat, just from what I've seen of him. But I have to say that the Ultimate Warrior match was my favorite.
That was a hell of a match.
Holy crap. That was a good match.
So my buddy Adam, who we mentioned earlier, he from House of Lewis.
Hi, Adam.
Ultimate Warrior is his guy. Growing up, he was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan.
Okay.
And that match with Randy Savage is like one of the ones that I think he said he rented the WrestleMania 7 VHS tape and became an Ultimate Warrior fan.
Yeah. So like with this one, we were talking about how Randy Savage wasn't a huge guy. Wasn't huge. You know, he's built,
sure.
but not huge. But like, he looked like he was in some kind of like pomp and circumstance in this match. And all the other matches he had Miss Elizabeth, and this one he had some other chick with him.
Oh yeah, he had Miss Sherry.
And anyway, so he's supposed to be the badass in this match,
right.
at least from the get-go, because they're saying champion, champion, champion. I don't have a lot of context for it, but and then he's in the middle of the ring. I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool. I've heard of Ultimate Warrior. I've heard of him. I don't know anything about him, but then all of a sudden the Ultimate Warrior's music comes on. I'm like, all right, and then this guy dressed up. I don't even know what he was dressed up as, but it was like. I was like, wow, that looks pretty big. It must be a really baggy clothes. And they were, but then he takes them off. I'm like, holy shit. What the hell? Like he is huge.
He's gigantic.
And the way he wears his persona is even more frightening.
It's like pure psychosis.
Oh yeah, like
he's out of his mind. And you're watching, you know, Cream of the Crop, and you're like, can't get much crazier than that.
Yeah.
And then Ultimate Warrior comes out, and you're like, oh, I was wrong.
I was like, wow, I don't want to face him at all. I don't want to be in the same room as him. But at the same time, like, there was a part of me that, even though at this point I had watched every other match with Macho Man, but even this one had me questioning, am I rooting for Macho Man or am I rooting for Ultimate Warrior?
Oh, totally.
Ultimate Warrior was cool. And,
yeah.
And his face paint and all that stuff, his crazy hair. And
he just goes the whole time. That's one thing I always loved about Warrior was just he came on, cranked to 11, and stayed at 11 the whole time.
He's got that like crazy man run where he's just like running to the ring.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and in his face, you can just see like pure focus and adrenaline, and he's just gonna, like, the guy in the ring with him is gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I loved all
anyway,
these matches.
Anyway, that was my match that
cool.
I really, really loved, but it was for the end.
I was wondering if you were going to even care about the end, because
no
context is hard.
It's really hard.
So let me set it up for those who haven't seen
it. Please set
it
up.
So on some of these earlier matches, you saw Elizabeth coming out mm-hmm. with Macho Man.
And they were this really pretty lady.
They were together in real life. Mm-hmm. They were storylines on camera, off camera. They were like the wrestling couple.
Yep.
They split up. 2 years go by. Macho Man is wrestling No Elizabeth. He's got Sherry. He's a bad guy. She's a bad guy. Everybody hates her. And just... But 2 years, that's a long time, and you're just always wishing that Elizabeth would come back. And it leads up to the end of this Macho Man Ultimate Warrior match, and Macho Man hits damn near 15, 30 elbows, I feel, on his
face. Yeah, so that was the other thing, is like, speaking of elbow drops, like,
yeah,
Ultimate Warrior goes down, near the end of this match, near-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
I say nearish because half the match was Macho Man dropping elbows on Ultimate Warrior. And so he drops, like, I think it was a total of 5 or something like that.
Crazy.
And
in an era, too, and you'll see this when you start watching new stuff. We're going to watch WrestleMania next week.
Yeah, like, I'm excited.
Finishing moves don't hold the same amount of power as they did back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
when Hogan hit that leg drop, Hogan got the pin.
You knew they were damn... They
were called a finishing move for a reason. Now it takes 3 finishers to finish somebody. It's just I don't know. The finishing move power has changed over the years.
Yeah.
But in this case, Macho Man hits so many elbows on Warrior. Warrior keeps kicking out.
So actually, and here's the funny thing is... he doesn't keep on kicking out from these. Macho Man just keeps on going back for more.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't even go for the pin. He just... And the funny thing is okay, so like going along with that wrestling is fake / this is still crazy.
Right.
You can see Ultimate Warrior, like, talking. And I want to know what he was saying. He's just, holy shit, please do the next one a little bit softer. A little bit softer. You know, never mind, go harder. Or whatever, you know, just, like, anyway, he's communicating with Macho Man. Because, I would assume...
I love that you picked that up.
Yeah, I just saw his mouth move, and I was like, who is he talking to? It's either he's, like, saying, holy shit, this is not fun.
Yeah.
Or he's communicating with him, which I just thought was cool. But anyway... Yeah, that was cool. And then, but the thing is, by like drop 4, I was like, okay, this is a little too much. He's not winning this match, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like psychology. I was like, all right, he's dominating way too much. This isn't good for story.
If he were going to win, he would have won by now.
Right, exactly. And so Ultimate Warrior gets up and he does this thing where he does like his lat pull downs or whatever. And... he pumps up and he turns this shit around. Turns this boat right around mm-hmm. and he rams it right down Macho Man's throat.
Yeah, he hits both ropes, hits the splash, takes him out, and
Is that Ultimate Warrior's ending move is the splash?
Yeah, that's his finisher. And so Macho Man loses and Elizabeth, they have shown her in the crowd watching.
Oh, Miss Elizabeth is in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet she looks like she's just conflicted.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like sitting, like, do you think that the people that she was sitting next to, knew that she was going to sit by them? Or do you think they were planted there?
I bet they were crowd.
Like, can you imagine, like, you're sitting right next to somebody who's directly associated with the storyline of what's going on?
That would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that would be cool.
And they're just in the crowd with you, and you're just like, what's going to happen?
Why is she here? Yeah, you'd watch her as much as the match, and then she gets back in the ring and
can I rewind something
Sherry?
Real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so in all these matches, sorry, this is just this is important for me at least, because in all the matches prior to this one that I had watched where Macho Man had Miss Elizabeth with him, she opened the ropes for him.
Right.
You know? And I was like, man, that's the only thing I don't like about this guy. You know? Anyway.
He was the star for sure.
Anyway, so like, with this one, he loses. I was okay with him losing. They make it even better where Miss Elizabeth just runs to the ring to rescue him. You know, Ultimate Warrior's had his moment. He's like, I just beat him. And then she goes to save him. And it's like this beautiful moment. Like, this was a moment where I had no context, where I was like, why do I feel something here? And then it wasn't even me. The ladies in the crowd were feeling it too. And
they were
the camera kept on cutting around to the audience, and people were in tears.
Yeah.
Over
it
this.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Like,
people,
I was like, what is going on here?
It's WrestleMania. It's just, you know, like, already excitement's high. This is a storyline that's been years and years
in the
making.
And you say that everybody was real sad that they were apart.
Yeah, they were like wrestling's couple, and you really just wanted that to work out. And and so it's just, I didn't cry over it, but I understood where they were coming from.
I felt a fuzzy in my heart.
Exactly.
I felt something real great, and I was like, wow. I'm really glad I felt that.
Yeah.
And anyway, this brings it back around. But when they exit the ring, and I don't know if you have anything to insert, you know, before this, but like, he opens the ropes for her.
Yeah.
I was like, you just won me over. You're my favorite. You're my favorite. I hate that this is your retirement match from WWE or F or what?
F at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And luckily with pro wrestling, it wasn't. never get too sad about a retirement match.
Exactly.
Because you quickly learn. Yeah, because one of the other matches you watched, 92. So he was, I don't remember how long he was gone for. He was doing
commentary
for a while. And he was
commentary
doing,
from Macho Man?
Oh, you got to go back and watch some of that. It's pretty incredible.
Man.
He calls matches.
Oh, yeah.
And WrestleMania 10 with Crush. It wasn't until the mid-90s that he jumped ship and went to WCW.
Okay.
Basically, what happened is Vince McMahon started pushing the young guys, said the old guys, sorry, you can't keep up with them anymore. The crowd wants younger talent like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. So actually, that tag match, like Macho Man and Hart versus Flair and Michaels, that's sort of symbolized like, we've got these new guys we want to start pushing. They're going to take your top spots.
That was Shawn Michaels at the time?
Yeah, and they said, and so they wanted Macho Man just to do commentary. And Macho said, you know what, I can't. I'm out of here. I'm going to WCW. So he went to WCW, and he had a pretty good run there for a little while.
Yeah.
And then the age really started to show, the WCW booking decisions.
Well, he was already balding pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And the balding just got worse.
Yeah, it just, his WCW run...
He got freaking ripped.
Oh, absolutely.
Later on, it looked
like. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was huge.
Yeah.
It's no secret. Steroids were very prevalent through all of those years.
What?
So,
No.
So just to
he
give
just
like a little.
Real hard.
Yeah. Yeah. He lifts a lot of weights a lot of times. So they, just to give like a little historical perspective, I loved hearing what you thought about Macho. My thoughts for Macho was...
Yeah, I'm actually really interested. So, all right, real quick, before you give them, you always are so coy whenever I talk about what I love about it in the moment. I think you're like, you've been secretly saving everything for this podcast.
Yeah,
so
I don't want to talk about it till we're
but,
on.
Like, I never know what you're thinking. So yeah, what do you think of Macho Man?
Macho Man, one of the best of all times. Macho Man, I feel bad for him that he came up in the era of Hulkamania because he was always second fiddle to Hulk.
Yeah.
All of his title reigns had something to do with Hulk Hogan.
It was that mustache.
He was involved in some way. I know, you can't beat that mustache.
That mustache and that skull.
Hulkamania.
Yeah.
And so you feel bad for him. And he was a perfectionist. And he, like the Ricky Steamboat match, they had choreographed every move in that match. And a lot of these matches, they'll choreograph certain spots and certain little sections of the match. But Ricky Steamboat has come out and said that literally it was hundreds of moves in a row. They knew everything. They practiced it a bunch of times because Macho hated to mess stuff up. And it was just like that dedication where he was just going to... He was going to do his best every time. And it was like very frustrating. And I think it showed. You have a lot of wrestlers, you know, they'll get to the top and... sort of start phoning it in. You know, there's a guy named Kevin Nash, Diesel.
Is he nowadays or is he back in the days?
He was the, same time like as Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, those times.
Okay.
Huge guy, really tall guy.
Yeah.
I feel never cared about it half as much as Macho Man did. So, I just...
See, the thing is, Macho Man seems like the last kind of guy who would be a perfectionist. Like, to me, he just...
Because he seems so crazy.
Oh, he seems so insane. But, like, to hear that he has, like hundreds of moves already planned out on paper for the Ricky Steamboat match. I loved the Ricky Steamboat match.
Right. It's one of the best of all time.
It was great.
And he knew it, I think, before the match even happened.
Yeah.
Because he just planned it all out and just got it perfect. So I feel bad that he always played second fiddle to Hogan because I think he was way better in the ring. I loved his promos, his energy. And I think he, I think you touched on it too. He's really good at making you feel for him.
Yeah.
You want Macho Man to succeed.
Yeah.
You want him to be with Elizabeth.
When he's getting the hell beaten out of him, you're just like, oh man, I really hope he turns this around.
Yeah, exactly. And so in his promos, he'll go from loud, crazy, you know, almost screaming, and then down to a whisper.
Yeah.
You know, and he can captivate you on those both of those levels. And I think that that is a perfect way to sum up who he was as a person.
Yeah.
He was both of those things, you know. And I don't want to get into the negative aspects of Macho Man too much, but there's a lot of stories backstage where he was ultra possessive of Elizabeth and would lock her in the locker room by herself, not let anybody go near.
Really?
There was real Macho Man Hulk Hogan beef because he was afraid that Hulk Hogan was pulling her away from him.
I don't know, man. With all the Hulk Hogan stories now, I don't really blame him.
Good point.
You know, just I kind of I would be. Well, I don't know if I. I don't think I'd be locking anybody in any locker room. So I think I'd be having some beef. With the Hulk Hogan.
I think just as much as Hulk Hogan symbolizes that era of wrestling, they call it like the rock and wrestling era. It was just, he was pure flamboyance.
Yeah.
But he also had the skill to back it up. He was a great ring technician, and I think he was just one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
He got his from a guy named Pampero Ferpo. I hope I'm saying that right.
Pampero Ferpo.
He was a Hawaiian pro wrestler.
Okay.
And I watched an interview with Macho Man's brother.
Okay. Because
Macho Man passed away. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know he's dead?
I knew he was dead.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me really sad now that now that I'm watching.
A lot of those guys from that era die really young.
Where's Miss Elizabeth now?
She died before Macho Man did. She died. There's a wrestler named Lex Luger.
What?
She was living with him, and she, I think, OD'd. That era of wrestling.
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah.
That's like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
So sad.
I'm really sad
you have to hear that.
I'm really. Like, you just broke the news.
Yeah, she OD'd.
Oh,
like a lot of wrestlers from that era. The drug use, the partying, the steroids, there's a lot of those wrestlers from back in that era that have passed away well beyond their years.
Okay, man, that sucks.
So get used to that. That'll be a constant thread with that. Let's look through and see. I think a lot of his opponents are still alive. Ultimate Warrior has passed away. And Crush has passed away, but not bad. Only two out of the six matches.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty good ratio of people dying to live in their 50s.
Yeah, I don't know. The Macho Man, just one of the best.
Yeah, I love him.
So I want to do a section in this podcast called Story Time.
Story Time. Gather around.
Story Time.
Sit down.
And so what I want to do, especially for the hardcore fans, they've seen all these matches. A lot of the stuff that you're learning now, they grew up with and you know, they kind of know. So I just wanted to, I want to throw in just a little bit of research I did. Just go find a cool little story, maybe more obscure for the wrestler. And for this one, Macho Man, he was in a movie called Spider-Man.
No shit.
Yeah, which I knew you knew because you had mentioned it to me earlier.
No, that's awesome, though. Like, no. You're like, hang on, I have stuff on this. And so I'm really excited to hear about this.
So not only, a lot of people know that he was in Macho Man. He played Bonesaw and he wrestled. the best part of that movie to me. But what you might not know is that Macho Man's first gimmick when he started wrestling was as a masked character named the Spider.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played a guy named the Spider. He was playing baseball professionally. It looked kind of like a pair of underwear that you put on. It was bad. The eye holes were way too big, and it didn't really work out.
Okay, so like we'll get right back on this one. But with some of the masks that I've seen, I'm just like, man, you've almost got it. You've almost got it, but your eyes are just like not really where the eyes should be.
Yeah, it's kind of, some of them kind of look weird, and his as the Spider definitely looked weird. But he was wrestling, it was like, I think it was like 1974. Uh-huh. He was wrestling in Georgia and Florida while also playing professional baseball. So what? he was a baseball player. He got, he went to a, I think he played for the Cardinals. I can't remember. But him and after the games, him and a bunch of guys would go drive down to like a local armory and go watch pro wrestling.
Really?
He loved it. His dad was a pro wrestler.
Okay.
His dad was a pro wrestler named Angelo Poffo, which is Poffo's his real last name. Yeah. And he wasn't allowed with his baseball contract to play, do any other like physical activity. And that's why he wore the mask. So without telling his baseball team and his coach and breaking the rules of his contract, he would go down and wrestle on, you know, nights and weekends when he didn't have a game. He'd go start to pro wrestle. He trained with his dad. And so that was my little obscure story. Is he,
that's incredible.
From the Spider to Spider-Man, that's sort of the bookends of his career. Yeah, that's Macho Man.
That's awesome. Like, so he just loved it so much. He's like, I love this so much that I'm going to take my already crazy busy baseball schedule and I'm going to double it up and I'm going to be this character with this awful mask and I'm going to go into wrestling. And so did he start, I mean, I don't know what the indies were like, because you, like, so knowing you, I kind of have a little bit of insight into the indies, at least how they work a little bit because of what you've talked about.
That, like, but back then it was even different because it was the territories era. So okay. It wasn't even, you know, this was like the, you know, early 70s. Territories there is. So the territories was, every like state almost, and sometimes they branched between states, but every like geographical region had their own wrestling territory. Okay. And they would each have their own mini WWE.
Okay.
And so they would have and Vince McMahon, who owns WWE now, mm-hmm. his dad owned one of those.
Oh, okay.
It was called Worldwide Wrestling Federation, WWWF. And then later they chopped a W off, and yeah. And they and so you didn't do shows in other people's territories, and you didn't use other people's wrestlers.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
What you wrestling here for?
Well, that's exactly right. They'd run them out of town. They'd
really?
Bring chains and pipes and beat the shit out of them.
Wow.
Yeah, for reals. Like, it was, like I said, it came from like hardcore, you know, carnies back in the day. It was like, you took it very seriously, so you did not
get
do...
Get the hell out of here!
Get out of here! Like, and so they would do these...
give them the elbow, boys.
Exactly. So the indies, instead of now where like one wrestler can sort of just bounce around from state to state and go on a tour by himself.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's like really free.
You would have one big promotion in that area, mm-hmm. and you would stay there until you sort of like lost your luster and switched, you know, sort of switched companies.
Okay, okay.
And so that's sort of what the indies were like, but it was just hardcore wrestling fans. Especially down in like the deep south, they took it very seriously. Wrestling was like church to them, except they loved church more. I'd probably say church than wrestling. Like, it was
church, wrestling, family.
And you have all these stories of people breaking, not breaking kayfabe. And kayfabe is like the whole
idea. Oh, yeah. So tell me a little.
Like,
so you throw this term out there like nothing. You're just like, oh, you know, with kayfabe.
I'm asked me what it meant. That? And I was like, when we record our first episode,
I'll explain
it to you.
And that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
So what is it?
Kayfabe is like the whole idea of wrestling is fake, but we're going to act like it's real. And so you do certain things to not break kayfabe.
Okay.
Kayfabe is another old carny slang term. And so it's just, you just,
so it's like when they're feuding and they really hate each other, but you know,
and then,
real
yeah,
life.
Exactly. And, back in the day, this is again like down in the deep south and stuff. You would have guys where if a good guy would end up just at a bar hanging out, you know, mm-hmm. nothing to do with wrestling's going on, and then out of pure, you know, coincidence, the bad guy that he's feuding with walks into the same bar because they're in the same town.
Yeah, what happens?
They would beat the shit out of each other in real life.
What the hell are you doing here?
Exactly. And they just couldn't
be a drink.
They couldn't break kayfabe.
Not
like,
my
people
town.
Thought wrestling was real.
Yeah.
Back then.
Wow.
And so it was just,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And so Macho
really,
Man was
they
part
would live
of that
their,
era.
They would live their character.
Lived
to,
a gimmick.
To that.
And you see guys like Macho Man, I feel, lived his gimmick. Hulk Hogan is still to this day living his gimmick.
Yeah.
Ric Flair.
Except,
the best guys from this era live the gimmick. And living the gimmick gimmick, when your gimmick is over the top and crazy and a party, and Ric Flair especially, like, you know, like just a lot of drugs, a lot of partying, a lot of boozing, a lot of stuff, you know. It took its toll on people, and you don't see that in wrestling these days. You know, the steroids are pretty much cut out now. Well, that's not true exactly, but certainly not on the level of display that they were before. The drugs, definitely, there's drug testing now. There's they just really had to clean stuff up because so many people were dying. There were so many incidents. And so what you hear now is a lot of the WWE wrestlers, they wrestle, they go get something to eat, they go back to their hotel room, they play video games all night. And it's a complete change
a great life.
That sounds great.
That sounds great.
I've got to get back into it. So those are our thoughts on Macho Man. Did you have any other thoughts on...
I love this guy. And this guy gets me more excited to learn, to dive deeper into wrestling and to learn more about, you know, just the behind the scenes, the in the ring, the, you know, all that stuff. So this has me really excited.
Cool.
And I feel like I think I've chosen well with this new interest. So
I'm excited to hear your thoughts. And that's the whole reason for the podcast, is I want to see week to week as his, you know, knowledge grows.
Yeah.
And like, I want to go back a year from now and listen to this episode and just be like, oh man, like you didn't know what kayfabe was. And now, you know, like the deep knowledge stuff. So what I want to do is next week's episode, I want to have you pick another wrestler. And what I was thinking you should do is pick one of the opponents that Macho Man had in these six matches.
Oh, okay.
And I'll list them again. And then you will do next week's episode
on
that instead of just picking one at random. So we've got Ricky Steamboat, Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man, Ultimate Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, the tag match, you could pick Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Crush, and Diamond Dallas Page from Shark Tank. So whoever grabbed your attention the most, you know, or whoever you're like, I want to know more about that guy. Yeah, go ahead and let everybody know who you picked.
Okay, so this one was really hard. Okay, I want to know what Ricky Steamboat, like, why is he a steamboat? But at the same time, like, and why is he a dragon? And why is he a dragon steam? Is it like a dragon on a steamboat? I don't know. But... and then I also am really interested in Shawn Michaels, but I choose Ultimate Warrior.
That's who you'd pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It certainly sounded like that was the one who had the biggest.
That was the guy. Like, I have to know about his crazy.
Okay.
I have to know about his crazy.
Awesome. Then next week's episode is going to be Ultimate Warrior. So feel free, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment in the, leave a comment down in the comment section, or email us at rhymetimetelevision@gmail.com.
Or leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, definitely review us on iTunes so more people can hear about it. Or Facebook, Rhymetime Television. That's pretty much most of the ways to get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know your thoughts about Macho Man, your favorite Macho Man matches. If I got something wrong factually, let us know.
If I had a wrong opinion about something, let me know.
Them know. And let us know what your favorite Ultimate Warrior matches are. And we'll go from there. This is episode one of Learning the Ropes. My name is Scott.
I'm Brian.
And this is Learn the Ropes. Thanks for listening.
Started off in the backyard with barbed wire, we hardcore. Then I moved on to the indie, sold out shows all through your cities. Feel me, built a buzz, signed autographs, took some bumps and kicked some ass. I made a name and pinned a bet, and now I'm in the main event. Heart gon' stop when I hit that shot. Crowd gon' pop. Heart gon' stop when I hit that shot. Crowd gon' pop. Climb the ropes, coming off the top of the elbow drop. I'm the cream of the crop. To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I beat them all. That's who I am. Step into the ring, the title's on the line. Hit him with a punchline and a clothesline. First I'm talking trash, then I'm kicking ass. Hey, I might as well do them at the same time. My God, he's broken in half, my God, he's broken. My God, he's broken in half, my God, he's broken. My
lid. Shut the casket, left them bleeding like mass transit. I'm the baddest, read the jacket. You'll meet to be like Tony Atlas. Crimson mask is crazy, I'm down to plate if they pay me. So bring on Brocco the Rock, I'll beat anybody but Bailey. And by the time that it's over, all your bones will be broken. You'll be sad on your sofa watching DDP yoga, brother. Step into the ring, the title's on the line. Hit him with a punchline and a clothesline. First I'm talking trash, then I'm kicking ass. Hell, might as well do them at the same time. My God, he's broken in half. My God, he's broken. My God, he's broken in half. My God, he's broken. My God, he's broken in half. My God, he's broken. I'm the whole damn show. Ask anybody, my crew is bad. Go to the pad, it's blue as glad. Get Scott Steiner to do the math. I'm pumped up in my Reeboks, strutting down to the ring like I'm a peacock. Shot your town for the cheap pop. Just split your hair with sheetrock. Spit fire, heat rocks. I protect the bears. Stage shows, upstage folks. Like hell in a cell when the cage broke. My dirt sheet's filthy. I'm the best there is, and the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And my young bucks are all guilty. You feel me? Step into